Hello, Year 11. Mr. Neil again. Another poem for you to have a look at or for me to talk you through. Again, should have studied it before. Shouldn't be anything new, but hopefully you might pick up a few new bits and pieces of information. So we're going to look at The Emigre by Carol Reumans. And Carol Reumans is British, which is interesting because the title of the poem is in French. So from that, we could infer, maybe, that the person talking is talking about leaving a French-speaking country. When we think about the content of the poem, the next logical conclusion to draw is maybe Africa, one of the African countries that speak French but is in almost constant state of civil war. The poem looks at the idea of somebody leaving their country. And don't get confused between immigrant and emigrants. An emigrant is somebody that's left a country. An immigrant is somebody that's come into a country. So the emigrant, the character in the poem, doesn't see herself as somebody that has arrived in a new country. They still see themselves as somebody that left their original country, which tells us how important that country is to them. Now, looking at the poem itself, it's broken into three stanzas of equal length. There's clear structure in that respect. While there is enjambment, the lines do run into one another, and there are brief pauses in the lines. For the most part, there is a clear structure, particularly the fact that each stanza ends on the focus of sunlight, and that's the sentence end as well. So we know that sunlight can represent hope and optimism and the possibility for the future. So each stanza ends with a focus on this opportunity and optimism. This poem starts, we're talking about there once was a country, and it focuses on the naivety, the idea that as a child she believed that nothing was wrong with this country, it was absolutely perfect. There once was a country, it sounds like the start of a fairy story almost. And her memory of it is sunlight clear, so again another reference to this sunlight. For it seems that I never saw it in that November, and we think about November as a cold, dark, the nights are long, the days are short, the weather's miserable. So by seeing a city in November is very different to seeing it in May or June, which is the height of summer and the flowers are out and it's cheerful and lovely. November, it's dark and grey. So she's saying she never saw it in that November, implying there's a specific point that she left. And not only was that the longest nights and the darkest days, but it was also the time that she left. She's saying that the worst news of it that she receives cannot break her original view. The idea that it's almost willful ignorance. She's choosing to ignore what she hears about this new country, or this country, this old country, and won't let it affect her view of it. I like the personification of the country as well. It may be at war. It may be sick with tyrants, implying that the people are causing it harm. The people, the tyrants, are causing it illness. But I'm branded by an impression of sunlight. And again, branding is a permanent thing. It's what cowboys used to do to their cows and livestock, where they would have an iron in the fire and then put like a tattoo, but burn a mark into their cattle. So this impression of sunlight is permanent. So Reumans is saying that her impression of sunlight will never change. The white streets of that city in stanza two talk about purity. No streets are white, but Reumans is adamant that these streets are, even though time rolls its tanks and the frontiers rise between them. So time now being personified as the enemy, rolling its tanks and drawing up these frontiers or barriers between them. That child's vocabulary, again, this link to naivety and innocence. Soon I shall have every coloured molecule of it. May now be a lie banned by the state. So line 15, looking at the rules that have been imposed by these tyrants that have since taken control of the country. This idea that the state can ban things, can say, no, you can't have that. But I can't get it off my tongue. It tastes of sunlight. Again, that reference to hope and faith. Even so, the idea that it's banned by the state, but she can't get it off her tongue. So it's not allowed to be there, but she still can't move past it. And then the final stanza, I have no passport. So she's unable to return to this place. There's no way back at all, but my city comes to me in its own white plain, which could be a metaphor for her dreams. It lies down in front of me, docile as paper. And there's a kind of obscure link there to tissue, the idea that paper and white plane as well could be like a paper plane. So this, I know that Mr. Shirley's talked through a lot of the meaning of tissue. And so you can look at the significance of paper in that as well. I comb his hair and love its shining eyes. So now it seems that the city is the child. The city is the person or the thing that needs to be taken care of. My city takes me dancing through the city of walls. And the city of walls implies there are barriers. And so in her dreams, she goes dancing through the city. But there are barriers. There are now checkpoints. There are things in place that stop Romans from enjoying the city as it once was. They accuse me of absence, which is interesting. It's the fact that she's been away that is a crime. It's an offence that she's been away. They circle me. They accuse me of being dark in their free city. This then again, they accuse me. They circle me. They is representative of an unknown, unspecified oppressive force. In the same way that dem are, or is a reference to them in checking out my history. This nameless, faceless, powerful, authoritarian organisation. My city hides behind me. Again, linking back to on line 29, linking back to this idea that she now feels she is to protect this city. Both at the start of the poem, she protects its memory through blocking out the negative influences, but she is now in the poem quite literally protecting it from harm, from fear. They mutter death, and my shadow falls as evidence of sunlight. Now, I like this contrast between shadow falls and evidence of sunlight, because in order for there to be a shadow, which we associate with darkness, things being obscured, if there are shadows, bad things hide in shadows. In order for there to be a shadow, there must be light. You don't have shadows in darkness. So for the shadows to exist, there must be sunlight, there must be some form of optimism, possibly even heavenly. But she could even say that she sees herself as her city. She sees the city as a metaphor for her personality and who she is, which brings us nicely to how it links to other poems. It links to tissue quite nicely because it's about the power of something that ultimately doesn't really have any power over her, and also links to London well too, about the power of a place over its people. I think the most clear link for me though is about identity and how the emigre, the person speaking, the voice, sees themselves. They see themselves as somebody that has left this country. They don't see them as a citizen of their new country, but somebody that is a defender of their old country, and that forms part of what they are. In the same way that in Checking Out My History, John Agard sees himself as a black child who has been denied an education that he considers relevant. He's been taught about white people's history, and he doesn't see that as relevant. That's not who he is. In the same way that Rubens doesn't see herself as a migrant to another place, she sees herself as somebody that has left this city. So there's a lot you can say about the emigre as well. It is quite abstract. There is quite a lot you can read into the imagery and the use of metaphor and simile, well, particularly metaphor throughout. The whole poem is an extended metaphor, but the use of metaphor throughout is hugely significant. Again, I've only sort of scratched the surface, but if you can cover a few of those points in your exam, hopefully the emigre does come up, because I think it's one of the more straightforward poems to compare. There are a lot of good poems to compare it to, and I think the imagery in the poem gives you a great deal to say. Thank you for listening. All the best for tomorrow.